Hey, beloved, I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jake. We're full-time artists and creative entrepreneurs, and we're convinced that the greatest work of art we'll ever create is our life together.
Join us as we build a marriage, family, faith, and work that's made to last. Hey guys, welcome back to Made to Last podcast. We are talking about Jake's new book, which is out as of April 15th. It's out in the world. It feels so crazy to say that. Just because the book has been such a long process for anyone who has ever even endeavored in that world. It's a long process. But then when you add like all the adornments that Jake has to his book, where he was not only writing the words, but he was, designing the entire cover, which is actually what we wanted to talk about today. Because if you know Jake, everything he does has symbolism that points to something higher. So this is actually the first episode of many that we hope to have on Made to Last podcast, where we get to share with you kind of behind the design and talk about future art pieces, jewelry pieces in later seasons. But we actually wanted to like kind of kick off this micro series within Made to Last behind the design and talk about the book cover. It is quite literally, and I can say this, the most beautiful book I've ever held. And
go on. You're biased.
Truly, I think like everyone who has worked on this project has said the same thing and has echoed it because it's true. And if you're seeing that little icon or thumbnail on Amazon, you'll know what I'm talking about. And it really doesn't even do it justice until you have it in your hands. It's such a stunning piece, and I could not be more proud of Jake and like how it turned out. And, you know, when you have all of these ideas of how you hope the book will turn out, there's a lot of detail in this, you guys. So it's amazing to see how it all turned out. The team that we worked with just nailed it. I mean, and they admitted, we don't usually do this many passes with our authors for like book cover and inside design. And so they were super, super gracious with us. And especially with Jake, as they allowed him to kind of play, you know, creative director on the whole thing and really followed his vision. And I think everyone is just so pleased with how it turned out. So yeah, let's talk about like just the whole, both the outside, the cover, and then the inside layout kind of tells its own story, but enhances the message within the book.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun episode for me because I get to talk shop a little bit, and Hannah already pulled back on the reins. She's like, all right, don't give them too much detail because they'll get bored. So, but no, it was a really fun project. It certainly made for a heavier lift on writing the book, but it was definitely the right way to go. And we talked to a dear friend of ours when we first were reached out to about writing a book. And she said, you know, while you could enter into the literary world with a trade book, I'd love to see you do something that we've come to know as a gift book.
And for many people who like don't know the terms, we didn't either. Trade book is kind of your really typical paperback, black and white, no imagery, right?
Right.
Probably the most interesting thing about it visually is going to be the cover.
Yep.
A gift book is artful all throughout, from beginning to end, outside cover, all the things. So we were so grateful that we were advised on that point.
Absolutely. Because I already knew I was going to be picky about such things. And so it was great that we did end up in the gift book world. And it's sort of like, you know, think of it as a combination between like a coffee table book that's very image driven and larger, but still very like content heavy. You know, it's about 36,000 words within this book. And it's smaller than a coffee table book. So it makes it a lot more manageable to pick up and even take with you as you go. And so uh, I we came to learn that there is almost like this sweet spot in the literary world for this type of book called a gift book. So after writing the book and playing the role of author, then I had to put on another hat and step more into a more well-broken in hat for me, which is designer. And so it was an opportunity to work on layout, to bring imagery into it, and then of course to go after the cover. Because I knew that it was like, I was not going to go with something that was stock. I was not going to use some kind of like stock text or anything. Everything would be hand-drawn for the cover, and I was going to go the full nine. And thankfully, the art department over at Thomas Nelson was very happy to work with me and really held my hand through the process to make sure that everything that I wanted to accomplish artistically came out in the final product. And so that was a little bit of a learning curve, but very fun. So, and then, you know, the real challenge, like, as we said in the previous episode, it was a long time getting to the title, and it was almost just as long getting to the subtitle, finding out something that was going to work, that was going to be complimentary, mm-hmm. but also tell a little bit more about what was inside the book. So we finally got there. And so I had all my pieces, and then I could start building in the composition. And for me, I wanted something that was going to look like an instant classic. You know, I wanted all the beautiful acanthus leaf. I wanted there to be this really like gorgeous gilded frame around the artwork, but have this very unique imagery interwoven into the text. So it looks like it all grew together on the cover of the book.
And it's so very you. I mean,
well, I mean, it is literally me. It is my self-portrait. So it is very me in that sense, which was that, I mean, that was an uncomfortable thing for me, yeah, wasn't it? I mean, I kind of talked to you. I was like,
you struggled a little bit with that.
Yeah, because I had old soul. And look, you know, that's one of the challenges of creating art of any kind. Whenever you put a person into it, it becomes a harder thing because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you want that person to look iconic. Otherwise people say like, oh, who's that you got there on your mantle? You know, that big painting of, whoever. And so it, you know, in order to create an image and make it feel like it's relatable, it has to be, iconic and,
but also you.
And also me. And that was like, and so when I did the title and I tried actually doing workaround, and I was like, I thought I'd just use like sort of the quill as sort of the hero symbol of the book and have like a bunch of flourishing, but it fell flat, especially with set off by this title, Old Soul, really mm-hmm. denotes this human aspect.
Right.
Even the deepest aspect of what it means to be human. So I was like, ah, there has to be a face there.
Has to be a human element there.
Yeah. And since, you know, I couldn't use Hannah's beautiful face, unfortunately, I was stuck with this old mug.
Not sure my face on your book would make any sense, but.
Yeah. Well, that book is coming. So it was a little bit of a challenge. I had no idea how it was going to be received by the publisher when I created the concept sketch. And so I did a pretty extensive sketch, but it was still rough in a lot of ways too. And when I pitched it, you know, I didn't get any pushback like, oh, is that your face on there? Oh, okay.
That's
interesting. No, I mean, thank God. But I was like, I was kind of bracing myself for that. And thankfully it never came. They were like, oh, this is a really beautiful cover design. We really love it. And, you know, we'd love to see it kind of more fleshed out. So I was given the green light. And then from that point, I went on to further development sketches. And ultimately, got to the end point of where it is now. And that's where I'll save you from all the tedium of the artistic process. That might be interesting to a few of you, but certainly not to all.
But the fun surprise that you had envisioned really early on with the book, which I think it just turned out so awesome, was in the last episode, we actually touched on this idea that every art piece and every person is a work in progress. And that's really one of the main kind of key themes throughout your book. And so you were like, what if once the final cover is done and people are holding in their hands, they actually flip open the book and there is the original sketch.
Yes.
And I was like, brilliant, because then it's like, you know, you get this beautiful, polished, finished piece. Mm. But then once you flip open the cover, it's, oh, but it actually didn't start off that way. And it was this beautiful insight into kind of the rest of how the book played out and the layout of the book played out. Because the first couple rounds of like layout and edit, it almost felt too clean to you. You're like, oh, this feels too pristine and my studio isn't that.
Yeah.
And I actually want the message and all the imagery around it to have this supporting theme and message of like, this is still a work in progress. I want people to feel like they're stepping into my studio, flipping through my sketchbook. And so when you have the book in your hands, you're going to see the beautiful front cover, but then you're going to open to the first page. And there it is actually the sketch.
The initial concept sketch. Yeah.
That and where it started. But then behind that, which is really cool, you'll notice Jake's handwritten manuscript, which yes, he did start off writing the book by hand. And I think you had to kind of approach the book the way that you knew how to. And you were like, I just connect with a pen in hand and I have to start there, even if I don't end there.
Yes.
And really romanticize the process for you as just an artist and a penman to be able to have that. But that's what you're going to find in that first couple pages of Jake's book so I want you to look for that because I think it's just a great, it doesn't have any explanation of what it is, but you know what it is when you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, this is so neat to see kind of how it started.
Well, and interesting too, at the time that I was writing this book, you know, that was when all of the AI language models started coming out and there was all this talk in the news on how it was going to change the world as we know it. And then interestingly enough, there was a lot of the talk revolved around how much it was going to change the literary world. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people thought like you could enter a few prompts into ChatGPT and it would spit out an entire book in a matter of minutes. And so then it begged this, it created sort of this quandary for the literary world of like, how are we going to handle this moving forward? And you know, me being me, the old soul that I am, I was like, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. I'm going to write this thing longhand. And, you know, it may not be the very best words that ChatGPT can come up with, but at least they'll be my words. Mm-hmm. And I'll have the proof by the very ink on the page that I put there. And so that was the original inspiration. Now, my publisher did ask us to eventually transcribe all of those pages into Word so that it can be edited and ultimately printed, but that's how it began. And so, yeah, just within that page, there's this beautiful nod to how it started off. You know, mm-hmm. it was just loose sheets of paper on my writing desk and a concept sketch of my self-portrait that formed the end product. But I wanted that to be the mark of authenticity so that as the reader dove in, they know that, you know, it didn't start there. It didn't start as clean and pretty as all that. Mm-hmm. That there was a really rough process that is sort of vague and ill-formed in the beginning, but it grows into something that is solid. So that was a really fun process to do. Super challenging, super time-consuming, but
totally
very fun.
Yeah. And you'll see nods of that throughout the layout of each chapter. You know, Jake wanted to make sure that you could even see the tools that he's using, that, you know, you see the finished artwork on some of the pages, but he goes, I want people to know like how I made this and, you know, include the tools. And so he was scanning in different tools to be able to include.
I know, it was so crazy just because, I mean, that like the design department, they took their first run at the book and laid everything out, and it was all beautiful and clean, and every picture was framed and the text nicely formatted around it. But I was like, it's for what I'm getting at, for what I'm driving at, it's a process, and I'm essentially inviting you into the back door of my studio. Mm-hmm. I want you to see all of the early developmental stages, mm-hmm. That are sort of incomplete. So you have that idea of like, there's always, there's a great deal of faith mm-hmm. involved in the artistic process, that it's like—
And dreaming.
Yeah.
I mean, you have several iterations of sketches represented even in the margins of the book, you know, in the layout.
Yeah.
And I love that, because I've always said that the quote unquote becoming stage or the initial stages are my favorite yeah. of an art piece, because they just show so much, because you can see where the art piece changed and where yeah. he like had a change of heart or a change of mind. And all of a sudden you start seeing like, oh yeah, this is a total co-creation with the Lord and a dreaming phase and a before it was ever like, oh, I always knew what it was going to be.
Yes. Yes. And that was really fun to do that, because I felt like it gave like a truer depiction of me, of mm-hmm. my lifestyle. And hopefully it was something that brings the reader into the intimacy of the studio, even seeing the tools on the page, which I was, you know, like going around my studio, grabbing a chisel here and a paintbrush there and laying them out on the table and taking shots, and you'll actually see them laid out on the page. Cause you know, I think there's such beauty and romance. I have somewhat of a condition that I need to confess, that I have a deep and abiding love for tools. And Hannah gets on my case from time to time. She's like, seriously, another tool? But they're, you know, it's like the tools they're actually part of the experience. They're what draw you into the creative process. And so those are even featured on the page.
Yeah. Yes. They become an extension of your hand mm-hmm. and of your mind.
Absolutely.
And I have come around. There was a time where I was like, really? We need
you
another?
You have been listening to me. Okay.
Yes, I have. I mean, there was a time where I was like, really? How many of these one thing do we need?
Never enough.
And
never
now
enough
that
tools.
I know like the full appreciation for all the tools. And so you'll take note of that, you know, on the cover where, you know, Jake talked about initially using the quill as like kind of the hero symbol of the story. And quickly he knew that wasn't going to work. But you'll still see the quill, and then there's the chisel, there's the pencil and the paintbrush represented on the front page. But they're almost like representatives of what you'll see throughout the book.
Exactly.
So there'll be like these yeah. tools scanned into the margins of the layout and... I just think it's such a fun way to introduce people to like what you do, but also how you do it.
Yeah.
And getting a picture for what the tools actually looks like. Because most people are going to think like, oh yeah, I get the pencil and the paintbrush and, you know, but the quill almost throws people into like, oh wow, does he actually use a quill? He really does use a quill sometimes.
Yep. Sometimes turkey, swan, or goose, just depending on the type of writing that I'm doing. But yeah, all of those tools sort of wrapped up in the acanthus leaf that forms my portrait just holds on to each of those. And so they all represent the different mediums that I do. And that was like a really fun part. The whole project felt very much like doing a branding package, as I've done for some major companies over the years, where it's like you're trying to distill it down and talk about what is the core identity of that company and then represent it through the imagery and the text and create a monogram so that you have somewhat of an abbreviated brand mark that can go in different places. And so I even created my own monogram for the book. It's OSNC for Old Soul, New Creation. And, you know, a four-letter monogram is a beast to tackle, to make sure that all of the letters can interweave and still be legible. But that was another, like, fun challenge of the book. And
you see that on the spine.
Yep.
But then, and so that's what you're going to be looking at if you're holding the book and you have it because you pre-ordered and you're amazing. You have the book and you have it on the spine, but then it's also represented each chapter.
Yes.
There's that four-letter monogram that Jake's talking about. And I'm really, I'd love for you guys to see if you can find that four-letter because, it, you know, it, sometimes it can take a trained eye just to see it.
Yeah.
You know, because the letter forms aren't as you maybe would expect them to look. But the way you design them is so beautiful and it's so intricate. And I love that we were able to take advantage of it right. as much as we did.
Yeah. And that's kind of, it really falls into the vein of like Victorian monograms, which they are designed that way. They're not, you know, it's not immediate that you're going to see all of the letters, but it's so intricate. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so detailed. Nothing succeeds like excess. And so that, you know, that is true of the monogram. But, you know, in that whole process of building a brand around around the book and around this work of God that has been done in me was something that was really, really special for me to do, to be able to take a deep reflexive look at all the things and make sure that everything is represented there. So you have all my different mediums represented in those tools that are encapsulated in my self-portrait. You see the tip of the quill coming down and then a spiraling flourish actually goes back up to start forming the portrait. So you have almost like this cyclical action happening that as I create, I am being made new. Mm-hmm. And so there's just a beautiful expression in that. And then my name is in the bottom on the inkwell. And then I have artist and master penman in a banner that runs behind. And so everything, you know, it always takes a while to kind of find these different pieces. You as the end viewer, hopefully, you know, you see it as like, it's all natural. It all grew that way. It looks completely organic in the way that it is balanced and flows and fits together. But that took, you know, a great deal of time and tweaking to bring together to reach this end result. It's super rewarding, even with all the treatments of the gold leaf and the debossing and the spot gloss elements on the book that create just this beautiful variety of texture and sheen on the cover. You know, it was so, so rewarding to have that in hand and think about all the different ways that were poured into it. And, you know, I didn't realize how deep that meaning would hit me because it's been some years before since I've done a self-portrait, but very rewarding. The one thing that I could compare it to is actually we did a life plan some years ago with our dear friend Pete, and he actually gave us the assignment of writing out our own mission statement. And so this is sort of my pictorial mission statement
right.
Around my portrait. But, you know, I think for our listeners, it'd be a really... A lot of times we don't, you know, we kind of hear in the Christian world to not be self-focused, to not be self-centered. But there are, you know, there are moments where we are called to deeply reflect mm-hmm. upon ourselves, you know, and that is true throughout Scripture. Even the Apostle Paul, you know, looked at his life and said, "I am the chief among sinners," not because he was the worst sinner who ever lived, but because he knew his sin chiefly. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very important process. It's a spiritual discipline to be able to look at yourself deeply and take account not only of the sins that God has redeemed you from, but the work that he is doing in you and the glory reflected there.
Yeah, you had an interesting prompt before we started recording of like, what would it look like, you know, if we were to, in words, kind of create our own self-portrait? Like, what words would you use to describe the story and what God has done in your life?
Yeah.
And I think that was, for you, really came out in this book, and that's how Old Soul, New Creation kind of became the title. It was this self-reflection of, like, what has God done in my story? And it pairs so beautifully with your self-portrait and really what God has done, you know, in this really unique, you know, you use acanthus leaf to kind of relay relationship and growth.
Right.
Which is age old, you know, it's not new to you, but I think one of the things that I've learned just being able to see your work start from conception to completion is I always tell people, like, if you're looking at Jake's work, it's almost like your vision has been enhanced because the longer you look at it, the more detail there is. And even in the cover alone, like, you think you know what it, you know, what it is, and then you keep looking at it and you're like, wow. So when Jake says, like, the quill, there's a certain line that feeds back into his self-portrait. There's little things like that always in Jake's work that seem so natural that you don't even question. But then you realize, like, oh, he thought through that. And so we like to say, like, the smaller the detail, the more intention God gave it. Because that's very true in creation. What seems very natural to us, you know, God put there with intentionality.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to look closer. And I think that's always something that I've loved about, you know, loved as an artist is creating detail, because it's like I see the glory of God in the detail of my own story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, and I've always said, like, people look at the mountains and they look at the cosmos, and that's where they point to, like, that is the true glory of the Lord. And I'm like, yes, absolutely. But it is also in a hummingbird's wing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like hummingbirds are one of my favorite birds. You see them come repeatedly into my work. And you know, it's like, it's that detail. It's like God's intentionality at the very smallest level. And that is true in all of our own stories.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted for Jake to speak to is, again, when you hold the book in your hands, it's hard to see in the thumbnail online, but the beautiful gold foil treatment that is on the outside cover of the book. This is something that for Jake, like, he's following in the traditions of old scribes. Talk to us what it was like for you to make sure that there was, like, gold foil on the front to really illuminate
absolutely
your work.
Oh, I'm really glad you brought that up. Yes, because, like, the scribes of old were called illuminators, and I think we've talked about this in previous podcasts, but I don't care. I'll talk about it again because I love to. You know, they were called the illuminators because they not only were they bringing the light, holding the light on the page that they were writing through the use of things like lapis lazuli and gold leaf, but they were bringing the light of truth into the world through God's word. And so is this, you know, this double metaphor that's played out on the page of holding the light, this incorruptible material which holds the light of truth on the page. And so for me, you know, tying that in and interweaving it even into my self-portrait, you know, it's like we become the illuminated ones ourselves when we carry the light of Christ within us, that uncorruptible light, that gold of heaven actually becomes an integral part of our soul.
I love it.
So there it is, the behind the scenes and the creation of many of the different design aspects of our book. And thank you for the opportunity of being able to nerd out a bit with you. Hopefully I was able to hold your attention somewhat. And if you do have a book in hand, then you're able to see it more clearly. And if you don't yet, I would really encourage you to go out and get one. It's been such a joy having and being able to share with people far beyond what I expected it to be. So thank you so much. And I do hope that what we shared today does resonate with you and makes you think differently about yourself and the way that God is working in you.
We'll talk soon.